Good day and welcome Philadelphia and beyond for WFYL. I'm Tom Donahue, also for our digital partners Red State Talk Radio and Talk Stream Live. So glad you can be with us. We got lots to cover. Let me just jump right to it. This is a lead story at the Washington Post, and it's something that is near and dear to me, something that I have been a part of. And this article is entitled, Primed to Fight the Government, the fastest growing U.S. movement armed with guns, and the Constitution sees a dire threat to liberty. Again, this is a Washington Post story. It is biased. Of course, it is to be provocative, and it's not completely, fair and balanced in its coverage. But this article emanates from Redmond, Oregon. Believe me, there are a lot of pockets of patriotism. There are lots of venues, there are lots of locales that are in greater numbers that represent the freedom, patriot, liberty, truth-seeking constitutional movement. And there are splinters, there's fractions, there's more radicalized parts, there's more mainstream. For instance, one of the examples I like to give is that the Reform Party, the Reform Movement, and then the Tea Party that followed thereafter, that's more mainstream. You know, for the most part, that's more trying to work through the political system to affect change in a positive way, to restore our liberties, to defend freedom, you know, to take on, you know, the issues that are most important to those folks within those movements. And that's what there are different aspects to the movement. There's certainly many. I think the sheer majority of those in this movement that are nonviolent, that are not seeking violent overthrow, they're not seeking violent means to an end. But then there are certain, just like in any movement, radicalized portions or extremist points of view and positions that are really wanting to pick a fight. But for the most part, I find that these are folks that really do believe in what the founders and the framers intended. They're originalists in their thinking. They are grounded in principle, and those principles relate to their faith and their family and for the future, which they feel is at stake in this great country. So this article, to be more specific, they are talking about weaponized. Now, I don't really see it as weaponized. I just see it as Second Amendment, and I see it as a means of protection, self-protection, protection of the home, protection of one's business, protection of one's community, and not necessarily weaponized, and not doing it to be aggressive or offensive. It's more defensive. And so let me just share with you that the founders and the framers of this great country, the Second Amendment, when they talk about militia, was that, well, you know, most males of young adult age qualified to be part of the militia that were representing their communities, representing their states, because there wasn't a draft, there wasn't a standalone army, there wasn't an armed forces, there wasn't a Department of War, which it used to be called, or Department of Defense, but it was a given. It was like when, you know, the majority of the inhabitants, the residents, the state sovereign citizens, they really felt like it was a given that, of course, we're Christian, and of course, we're here. We might see some things differently, but the foundational principles of the new republic, and even originally the 13 colonies, it was steadfastly grounded in their faith, and their faith was of a Christian faith. And so it was just, again, it was assumed, you know what happens when you assume, that of course we wouldn't have to say that this was a Christian nation, because it was. Just like when Thomas Jefferson proposed that there ought to be a Bill of Rights, because he feared that this government would say, if it's not codified, if it's not actually in tablet form, if it's not written down, that these rights are not inalienable, unalienable, inherent, that you are born with these rights, that they're embedded within your spirit, within your personhood. And so they feared that if they didn't put together the Bill of Rights, then the government would say, well, those rights do not exist because where are you going to point to them? And back in that time, that the basic rights in the Bill of Rights were just, they were obvious. They were readily apparent. They almost felt like, we don't have to write this down. Everybody knows we have those rights. And everybody knows that our rights come from the Creator, who is the grantor of all rights, the laws of liberty. And so the primary purpose of putting together the Constitution was to put the limitations on government and basically say that we recognize that government's there to protect one's rights and protect the sovereignty of the individualized states. So it's individual rights, states' rights. The federal government had no rights. The federal government was granted very limited privileges and limited it had duties and functions at the behest of we the people, the individuals, and of course the states, the sovereign states. So sovereignty of the individual, sovereignty of the states, is still of utmost importance. When you look back at the founders, they wrote in very revolutionary terms because they felt like you had to have the courage of your convictions and you had to be able to stand up against tyrannical government. So really, if you really look at this, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, these were all set up to be protectors of the individual and the sovereignty of the states. And they weren't there to grow the reach of government. They weren't there to give more power to the federal government. It just wasn't that way. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to refer more specifically to the article. But yeah, I represent the originalist view, the organic view of the founders and the framers. And that's why this is Philly Freedom in the spirit of 76. Hold tight, right back. Welcome back, Tom Donahue for WFYL Radio, right here serving the greater Philadelphia area and beyond. Also, our good friends at Red State Talk Radio and Talk Stream Live. And we're so appreciative of the interest for this program and that we are on the move, we're on the march, and it's all because of you. Now, something I wanted to share with you, that WFYL 1180 on the AM dial here in Jeffersonville, Pennsylvania, Valley Forge, King of Prussia, and the greater Philadelphia area, they will always have the first run of this program. It'll be the first airing of this program Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. However, thereafter, it will run on Red State Talk Radio at 10 p.m. on the Red State Talk Radio Encore channel. I'm going to have a variety of offerings. Sometimes could be weekend best of, could be other varied times on TalkStream Live, because I have reinstituted my own 24/7 channel or station through streaming only, and we're gonna load that up with 2 to 3 shows at a time, and you'll be able to listen to those. Now that can be heard via my website, and also we'll have that connected to TalkStream Live at various times. TomDonahueReports.webstarts.com. TomDonahueReports.webstarts.com. And, of course, the podcast, so that you can download and you can listen at your leisure to whichever ones you so choose or desire to tune into. Okay, back to this article. This article originates at the Washington Post. It is listed at the Drudge Report. It's also in various other places. Now, the title, so I can refresh your memory, is Primed to Fight the Government. That's the lead caption within this article or this headline. Primed to Fight the Government, the fastest growing U.S. movement armed with guns and the Constitution sees a dire threat to liberty. Well, I mean, I've been written up and there's been articles about myself, others in the Freedom Patriot Constitutional Movement, later they added the word a truther movement. you know, over the years. So this is nothing all that original, nothing all that new, but at least they're putting in the word the Constitution, because that really, that's what this movement's armed with. It's armed with knowledge, truth. We're greater, with the exception of the Bible, is the U.S. Constitution. And the founders and framers relied heavily upon biblical principles and laws in the formation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So don't be mistaken on that. So faith certainly did have a very favorable and forceful, you know, extremely persuasive role, commanding role, in the founders and the framers and how they forged forward with freedom and liberty and in putting this in document form. Okay, so in this article, it says, deep in the heart of a vast U.S. military training grounds, surrounded by spent shotgun shells and juniper trees blasted to shreds, the Central Oregon Constitutional Guard was conducting its weekly firearms training. Again, the name of that organization is Central Oregon Constitutional Guard. The intent is to be able to work together and defend ourselves if, again, that's the operative term, if we need to, said Soper. He's 40, a building contractor who is an emerging leader in a growing national movement rooted in distrust of the federal government, one that increasingly finds itself in armed conflict with the authorities. That's not really true. There's not that many armed conflicts. There are legal disputes. Most of them don't end up in armed conflicts. But again, you have to realize where the Washington Post is coming from, okay? Because they'll take the word of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They'll take the and other groups that if you're not radicalized liberal and progressive, then you must be part of a right-wing conspiracy, as Hillary Clinton would call it. So back to the article. It's hard for me not to infuse my views, and I'm not here to read verbatim. You can read it for yourself, but I do try to break down the nuts and bolts and give you my take. And again, I can only give you my take on these matters. Law enforcement officials call them dangerous, delusional, and sometimes violent, and say that their numbers are growing amid a wave of anger at the government has been gaining strength since, they're saying, 2008. You know what's coming. Here it comes. A surge that coincided with the election of the first black U.S. president and a crippling economic recession. So now they're dredging this up and trying to make it look like this is something surging. And if anything, I think it's pretty much plateaued. I don't think it really has grown all that much. I think people now have become more parts of, you know, trying to be part of the, you know, the reform movement, the Tea Party movement, and then now I think the Trump movement. Now, remember, America First was something that I embraced, something that I, it was part of my program in syndication back in the early 90s. And Pat Buchanan used that as a theme when he was running against King George. He called him King George, Mr. New World Order, Trilat, Council on Foreign Relations, elitist George Bush, the senior. So Papa Bush, Mr. CIA, Mr. UN ambassador too. Remember, he was the UN ambassador. Yeah, he was a wonderful internationalist. Mm-hmm. So the whole America First theme. People that are part of the freedom, patriot, constitutional, liberty, truth-based movement. This is all, you know, it's like kind of like blast from the past. You know, some of it is still around us in a more active way. Some of it is more passive, and people are more integrated into the political system and scheme of things, and are trying to affect change, you know, without being radicalized, without being potentially violent. So it says the group's members, and, you know, it loves to say, oh, they work in this profession, that profession, blah, blah, blah. You know, they have to be descriptive. I don't have time for it. But here it says, it doesn't say in our Constitution that you can't stand up and defend yourself. We've let the government step over the line and rule us, and that was never the intent of our country. Well, never the intent of the founders that created this great country and this constitutional republic. And the founders never set this up to be a mob-ruled democracy. I can't help but throw that in there. You have to love that when you're on these pages, and sometimes it can be, you know, the internet service, the Wi-Fi service you might be using, but they have so many pop-up windows and so many things that, and videos and and audio, and so you're trying to scroll down, and it gets stuck. And that's kind of where we're at here with this article. So bear with me here. You know, the point is that they're trying to talk about these folks being a very radicalized group of people. Nothing could be further from the truth, because most people I know that carry around the Constitution, that talk about our rights and our freedoms and the founders and the framers, they're not looking for an armed conflict. They're not looking for a radical overthrow. They just love this country, and they, as Donald Trump says, let's make America great again. I think it's that let's preserve the good things and let's build upon and make it greater. But I think there's still a lot of great things, even though the Clintons, the Bushes, the Obamas, and others that have surrounded these, I have to say, enemies to our freedom, to our great republic. You know, I really do see that the higher-ups in both parties have helped to destroy our country and have helped to erode the basic tenets of our freedom and our liberties. And it's dastardly, it's despicable, it's diabolical, and I think we should stand up to it. And I think that's what you're finding, is that there's a lot of constitutionally oriented and constitutionally based groups that some of them actually might have firearms training. What's wrong with that? I mean, the NRA just came out and gave a huge endorsement to Donald Trump. And so I think that because the Second Amendment was not set up just for modern day police forces and modern day armed forces that relate to the defense of our country at large, it had to do with every able-bodied male that at the time that could serve in a militia. But it was more than that. It was instilled in one's common sense and in one's patriotic and constitutional governmental knowledge that of course you have the right to defend yourself, and of course you have the right to keep and bear arms. And the founders, they just didn't think that you have these pointy-headed, progressive, liberal academicians that would be constantly attacking and trying to erode away the original intent of the founders. Now, it's one thing to just say that we want to change the Constitution, which there are people from the left and the right that want to have a constitutional convention. And you would have more respect if you said, well, we're going to try to change what the founders back in the day, a couple centuries ago, had forged forward with in their original documents. But we're now living in 2016, and that we're hundreds of years away from that, and we want to change that. We want to modernize that. I'd have more respect for that in being in denial of the fact that what the founders' original intent was, and how relevant, extremely pertinent, and so relevant to today's times. And this article is touching on that. Hold tight, right back, more to come.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Not being able to fall asleep is so frustrating. The tossing, the turning, the adjustment of pillows and blankets. Ugh! Eventually, you just decide to get up and start your day really early. It doesn't have to be this way, though. Power Sleep is an all-natural, non-prescription formula that will help you sleep like a baby. It contains neurotransmitter nutrients that promote the production of serotonin, which is responsible for feelings of well-being. Power Sleep is easy to digest and absorb and is made in a base of active probiotics. Don't miss another night of sleep. Order your Power Sleep at EnergyWave.com or call 800-TURTLE-5. Add Power Vites to your cart while you're browsing. Perfect for Monday mornings. They're a complete multivitamin and mineral formula that will give you the energy you need to get through your day. Nourish your immune system and feel great. Get all the info and place your order at EnergyWave.com. Enter code word SLEEP to get free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom, WFYL Radio, also Talk Stream Live, and of course our digital partners with Red State Talk Radio. Let me just jump right back into the article. My screen is unfrozen, so luckily I'm able to scroll down. So in this particular article that relates to, I would call it the Patriot Movement for the most part. I would call it Freedom and Liberty Movement as well. It says here, law enforcement officials and the watchdog groups that track the self-styled patriot groups, in quotations, call them anti-government, extremist, militias, armed militants, or even domestic terrorists. Some opponents of the largely white and rural groups have made fun of them, calling them you all Al-Qaeda or vanilla ISIS. Mark Potok, oh, here's a real piece of work, of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which monitors extremism, said there were about 150 such groups in 2008 and about 1,000 now. Potok and other analysts, including law enforcement officials who track the groups, said their supporters number in the hundreds of thousands, counting people who signal their support in more passive ways, such as following the groups on social media. The Facebook page of the Oath Keepers, a group of former members of the police forces, and the military, for example, has more than 525,000 likes. Oath Keepers is a great group. I mean, how could you get a better bunch of guys and gals than those that have served in first responding roles, both domestically and worldwide? Those that have worn the uniform with, and most of them, again, there are rogue elements of all agencies, of all organizations, of all companies, of all walks of life. For the most part, they've worn their uniforms with class and dignity of a serving heart and nature. To demonize these people because they say, you know what, even though we might be retired, we still want to serve a role, and we still are concerned about our country, and we still want to serve and protect and defend. And what could be so wrong with that? Now, the reason that he's making this claim that there might be as more than 1,000 of these groups is because if you are not only Second Amendment, but you're a First Amendment person, you know, unless it's for radical, progressive, extremist causes, and it's always about the right wing, never about the tree-hugging organizations, okay? Now, when you look at this, if you are pro-life and you picket, we're not talking about bomb, we're talking about picket, abortion clinics, if you fight for that kind of legislation, if you're a talk show host that leans certainly to the right and independent, you're also grouped in there. So if you are following a particular host that, and you could name many, you would then also be considered, you know, the radical extreme. And so, but you know what? They'll define those that are Christian, those that are conservative, those that are pro-family, pro-life. It's very easy for them to describe them as domestic terrorists of radical hate extremist groups. They put a lot of people into these domestic terrorist groups and extreme hate groups, and there is no evidence to support that. It's just because Mark Potok, and whether it be the Southern Poverty Law Center, and there are other organizations, that the mission is to destroy their political opponents. and to, well, I'll give you the best example, the Tea Party. The Tea Party, they consider that, and that's where a lot of these groups are coming from, because there's so many different chapters of the Tea Party group and organizations. That would count for hundreds, if not thousands, of, you know, local and county and state organizations, and even national organizations that represented the Tea Party interest. And they said that they were, you know, domestic extremists and potential terrorists. And they put them in the hate groups, and they put them in this extreme radicalized categories. So that's Mark Potok and the Southern Poverty Law Center, someone that you can not be proud of, and someone that is totally, completely disgraced himself. There's been so many times that he's been proved absolutely, completely, totally wrong, but they still have him on representing the media as it relates to terror groups. But they'll never talk about Islamic extremists. They're not on that list. They don't focus on them. Isn't it interesting that only people that believe in pro-life and Christian values and Christian heritage, homeschooling, First Amendment and Second Amendment and Ninth Amendments and Tenth Amendments of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, they're the only ones that should be worried about. A threat could only come from the right. It could only come from conservatism. Could only come from people of a Christian faith. Could not come from any other organization. Could not come from any other country. Could not come from any other faith. Could not come from anywhere else but the heavens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you can see where this is going. This is going to be the ultimate smear job, at least attempting to smear and discredit Donald Trump and his followers or his base audience, or matter of fact, we the people and this populist groundswell grassroots movement. That's what this is all about. There's been countless articles from the 80s, then, you know, really heavily in the 90s and the 2000s. So this is nothing new. There's nothing in here new that's reported, except maybe there some of the younger generations have joined, you know, the Patriot movement, you know, and various factions that relate to the Patriot freedom, liberty, constitutional, truth-seeking movement. And there are different facets, and there are different gradations in terms of level of commitment, in terms of level of radicalism. And there's nothing wrong with radical if you're lawful, meaning law-abiding, constitutionally speaking, biblically principled. It's okay. And it's always okay to be defensive-minded. So back to the article. President Obama's progressive policies and the tough economic times have inflamed anti-government anger, the same vein of rage into which Donald Trump has tapped during his Republican presidential campaign, says Potok, and others who work with him as part of the Anti-Defamation League, and has monitored extremism for 20 years. You know, they collect a lot of money, and they get a lot of media attention, almost all of it favorable, because the media wants to deplore and denounce and to repudiate and to discredit completely any movements that are not radical, progressive, Democrat, liberalism. That's the way it works. So much of the movement traces its roots to the deadly 1990s confrontations between civilians and federal agents at Ruby Ridge, Idaho, and in Waco, Texas, that resulted in the deaths. It resulted in the deaths of as many as 90. Timothy McVeigh cited both events before he was executed for the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing that killed 168 people, and he said he had deliberately chosen a building housing federal government agencies. Now a second wave is spreading across the country, especially in the West, fueled by the internet and social media, according to J.J. McNabb, an author and George Washington University researcher who specializes in extremisms. Social media has allowed individuals, even small groups such as SOPers, to become far more influential than in the 90s, when the groups would spread messages through meetings at local diners and via faxes. And also talk radio, but they didn't say that. The movement received a huge boost from the 2014 standoff at Clive and Bundy's ranch in Nevada, where federal agents and hundreds of armed supporters of Bundy faced off in a dispute over the rancher's refusal to pay taxes to graze his cattle on federal land. The federal agents backed down rather than risk a bloody clash. Bundy's supporters claimed victory and were emboldened to stage similar armed face-offs last year at gold mines in Oregon and in Montana. In January, dozens of armed occupiers, led by Bundy's sons, Amon and Ryan, took over the headquarters buildings in the National Wildlife Refuge near rural Burns, Oregon, an action that later resulted in the deaths of Robert Lavoie Finicum, an occupier who was shot by state troopers. Okay, we're going to get to more of this. This is the central theme of today's program. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom, Tom Donahue Reports. Stay tuned. More to come right back.
Let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Health in America is becoming a top priority. Or maybe I should say, good health in the world is becoming a top priority. Maintaining a healthy body can be challenging. How about letting Life Change Tea help you? Our tea you make, you drink, and you benefit. Our unique blend of 8 different herbs helps you maintain good digestion, a healthy colon, and detoxes harmful toxins and parasites out of your body. And you know what? It tastes great. If you're wanting a change, a life change when it comes to health, log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. When you log on to our mobile-friendly website, you can read all the numerous testimonies of how Life Change Tea has helped so many people. We carry many, many benefits. Official products that help your health and keep you on track. GetTheTea.com. Kind of gets in your head, doesn't it? GetTheTea.com.
Welcome back, Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom, Tom Donahue Reports. Thank you so much for joining us on WFYL and, of course, our partners later in the evening, Red State Talk Radio and TalkStream Live Worldwide, perhaps through our podcasting, 24/7 channel. Many ways to listen, many ways to connect with us, and you can do that at tomdonahuereports.webstarts.com. Also, you can just type in Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Reports Radio, and I'm sure through Google you will find me and all the ways to reach out. My email address, and I haven't given that out all that often, but it's there on the website, so you can easily find that through my contacts, is talker57@hotmail.com, talker57@hotmail.com. So feel free to email your questions, comments, concerns, interests, and suggestions, and I'll give it a serious look over. So back to the Washington Post article. And I see this as the targeting, the unfair targeting of many, many patriots, many, many in the freedom, liberty, truth, and justice movements that involve many, many people from diverse backgrounds, organizations. There's a common theme. We're not talking about the very very minute fraction of radicalized, you know, extremists that actually take violent approaches. We're talking the 99.999% that believe in peaceful coexistence, believe in education, believe in trying to become more politically aware, more politically involved, resist, but do it in ways that are more peaceful and less confrontational. But there are confrontations that do occur. So back to the article more specifically. So Sopper has been in the middle of all of it, he says, and he's tried to be a more moderate voice in a movement best known for its hotheads. He spent months living in his RV at Burns, Oregon, trying to talk to the occupiers and talk to them into standing down. 2 days after Sopper's last visit to the refuge, Finnicum was killed in an operation in which the Bundys were arrested, along with others. An independent local investigation concluded that the shooting was justified, although the U.S. Department of Justice is investigating several FBI agents for possible misconduct. Sopper considers Finnicum's death a murder. Before going further into the article, I looked at the video. I monitored the situation. You know, I try to read as much as I could. And I'm just going to give you just a very quick take on this because we only have so much time in this final segment of Take 4. It appeared to me that Finnicum was reaching for something. It appeared to me that he was, when he hopped out of the vehicle, that he was in a provocational act. Now, that's not to say that he was justified in killing him. However, I'm not so sure it was clear-cut. And I think it warrants a complete and total investigation. So I would say that I'm unclear as to exactly how this was precipitated, why he and he alone came out of the vehicle, what was he reaching for, and what was he saying, and was it enough to warrant? Because if you're reaching for something and it appears to be an object, and you're not standing down and you're not complying with the orders, and even if you feel that a police officer's orders are unjustified, even if you feel that any officer of the law has encroached upon your rights, they're the ones with the weapons, or they're the ones with multiple weapons, and they're the ones that have the badges. Take it up in the courts, or you know, whether it's a civil suit, a criminal investigation, bring it to the proper authorities. But man, don't think you're on equal footing and think that you're going to get the benefit of the doubt, because you probably are not. I don't believe in hostile takeovers, whether it's the government or through private citizenry. Now, I can disagree with grazing rights. I can disagree with, you know, how much ownership of land the federales have, or the fact that some of these agencies, whether it's environmental, whether it is animal rights, and again, believe me, I'm a lover of nature and lover of animals. But when you're trying to protect a spotted toad, or you're trying to, or the salamander, you know, or the field mouse, and jeopardizing the livelihoods and the lifestyle of human beings, well, that's just gone a little too far. So there has to be a happy medium. So here's a comment from a former and retired FBI agent. He said, "This kind of talk is a big deal. The official overseeing foreign and domestic counterterrorism programs back in 2013 says free speech doesn't make you a terrorist just because you disagree with the government. But if you start espousing violence and radicalizing your own people towards a violent act, the federal government is going to take notice." I'm just going to add this. And they're going to take action in most cases. Shortly after the Bundy Ranch confrontation, two of Bundy's supporters who had been at the ranch, Jared and Amanda Miller, killed two police officers and a civilian, and also died in the Las Vegas shooting rampage. Police said the couple left a note on the body of one of the officers they had shot point blank. What did it say? Well, what it said was, "This is the beginning of the revolution. Until 2 years ago, BJ Soper was a creature of ESPN. He settled down after spending much of his 20s as a professional rodeo rider," and it goes on to explain a little bit more about his background. You know, I did not know about this Las Vegas shootout. I don't know. I, I feel like I'm pretty in the know and I keep up with these things. But I didn't know that these people had lost it, went on a violent rampage. Now, of course, I'm a conspiracist as long as it's factual and rational. But I'm sure many would say, oh, well, it didn't really happen that way. Maybe it didn't happen at all. Maybe it was complete setup by the government. You know that there are individuals that can act alone, that can act in an unhinged way, that can be, well, not only based on the percolating events of our times, the precarious times that we live in, but can also be something that is alcohol, drug-induced. It could be medically, the pharmaceuticals that could be involved. You know, there's many, many people walking the streets that are having hallucinations, that are having all kinds of mental problems. They're dehydrated, they're nutrient deprived, they're depressed people, they're people without hope, without faith, and anything's possible. So after what happened at the Bundy Ranch, remember, I was really surprised, a sizable percentage of the American populace were on Bundy's side. That was until things got, well, they kind of pushed things to almost unsafe limits. And then there were statements made that had, well, I'm not trying to be politically correct, but the way they referenced people that were blacks and Latinos, it was done in a very demeaning and, bigoted way. And then there were some other outrageous statements that were made. And then all of a sudden, a public opinion and support for them started to dwindle. And it diminished greatly. But I have to give a little bit of credit to the government. There were times that weapons were brandished, that they were pushing and shoving. There was a lot of foul language and a lot of disrespect that was being perpetrated on the armed officers of various governmental agencies, local, state, and federal. And they pretty much kept their cool, and nobody was shot. And you know, it doesn't take a lot of provocation generally to provoke these folks into violent acts. But it didn't happen. But what happened, as time went on, was that we had this incident outside of Bern, Oregon. It's something I really want to take up, and I really want to discuss in greater detail. But you had this takeover that was, in my view, unjustified. You had two individuals that allegedly it came from a court case that they were found guilty of arson on their own property that had to do with grazing rights. From what I read, it was, I don't know who was right and who was wrong. But the point is that these two gentlemen, that really was kind of the fulcrum, the focal point of what happened, they ended up serving time, and they got a lower end of the sentence. You know, I think there was, I think the judge actually had a little bit of sympathy or empathy for them, you know, and didn't throw the book at them. Well, they ended up serving their time, which was not an extensive amount of time, but the government filed an appeal because they felt the sentence was too lenient. The government ends up winning the appeal. These two individuals, they've already served their time. It was time, you know, they were already out back in the community. Well, the government decided that no, this was too lenient. The appeals court demanded. So the demand was that they had to return and serve a greater sentence, which some would think might be viewed as double jeopardy. It's not exactly double jeopardy, but it kind of feels like it. And so when the so-called Calvary, the Patriot Movement, and those that were following the Bundy said, hey, let's go out and help our brothers. First, they had like town halls, and they're trying to, you know, rally the citizenry and have protests. But then they felt that wasn't going so far, so they decided on their own, the small group of renegades, to take over and occupy, you know, the outposts there on federal land. And that's where the real problems came in. But the two individuals that the whole thing's emanated from, they said, we don't want any violent acts. We don't, we're just going to fight this through the courts, and we're going to comply. And they went and decided of their own volition to serve the time and fight it through the courts. And they said, don't take this any further. This is our battle, not yours. Many of the people in the town, most people in the town said, okay, you've had your town halls, you've had your protest, go home. And they didn't. So what I'm going to have to do is I want to do another program. I'm not so sure that program is going to happen immediately. But I want to get into some of the cast of characters and the motivations behind what precipitated this event. And I don't just blindly follow, and I don't blindly support any cause in the name of whatever it might be. You know, I'm someone that does, you know, incisive analysis. I try to always get to the bottom line. There's no rush to judgment from me. It's always going to be about a comprehensive analysis, and it's going to get to, you know, the roots and the causes, hopefully, the unvarnished truth, and then what are the solutions? How do we go forward from that point on? Thank you so much for joining me. Another exciting day in the neighborhood, right? Okay. Thank you so much for your listenership, your interest, your support. Till we meet again, I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom. Tom Donahue Reports. Have a great night.